But let's jump into this part one of this series, Live in the Dream. And we're calling it Those Who Dream. And that's a phrase out of Psalm 126. And we'll be getting there as the landing spot for our thoughts this morning. But we just pray this morning, Father, that our hearts would be awakened with the truth of your word. Lord, that by your Spirit, you would do a fresh work in each one of us. We sang it a moment ago, but we pray it now as well. We give you permission, Lord, that you would work, that you would move. Lord, that we would understand the power of dreaming, something you have created us to do. And Lord, of course, you've called us to live in the dreams that you give us. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was meditating and praying, meditating on the word, praying for the series, I was drawn back to Genesis chapter 37, to a particular phrase that was there. And we'll probably be looking at Joseph, who's mentioned in this text later on in the process of going through this series. But I want to just draw that phrase out here today. What's happening in this context is that, you know, Joseph's been given the coat of many colors, and he's been given a couple of dreams by God. And as he shared those dreams, he was the youngest brother, or almost the youngest brother. As he shared those dreams, his brothers weren't too happy about it. They're like, "Dad, already, you're already Dad's favorite. Now you're having these dreams, and it seems like in the dreams, you're in charge of all of us. We don't know what we think about that. Actually, we do. We don't like it." And they were really upset about it. And one day they were out. They were in agriculture, and they were shepherds. And one day they were out at a distance, and Joseph was sent to go and see them. And as he was approaching, this is what they said. This is the verse I want to read that's kind of stirring my heart. It says in Genesis 37:19. "Then they said to one another, 'Look, the dreamer is coming.'" New Living Translation says, "Here comes the dreamer." The Amplified says, "See, here comes this dreamer and master of dreams." It's really the fuller meaning there in that text. And again, the context is they're conspiring against him. And I get that, but this phrase stuck with me, and I just sense the Holy Spirit wanting us to see this, but rather than seeing it as something derogatory or negative in this context, to see it in the reverse way, to understand that God wants to fill us with dreams. And this phrase, "Look, the dreamer is coming," is what's supposed to be said about you and said about me. We're to be marked by the dreams of heaven, to be known for the dreams that we're carrying and moving into. That's it's just something that is sticking in my heart today as we look at this. So I want you to tell someone the dreamers are coming and you're one of them. Tell somebody else, just help me. I know. You're like, "Oh, I don't want to do that." Just do it. The dreamers are coming, and I'm one of them. Just tell somebody that. Here comes the dreamers. Here comes the dreamers. Our world needs dreamers. Specific kinds of dreamers. People that carry God dreams. You're carrying a God dream in your life. It has the power to change the world around you, to make an incredible difference in the lives of other people. When God made us, he made us to dream. I'm not talking about wishful thinking dreaming. I'm talking about the capacity to hear from God and begin to dream out what that looks like in the context we live in our world. And, you know, just to start off, we understand there's all kinds of dreams. And there's dreams that are more personal and individual. There's dreams that are shared and collective. There's some small dreams, some big dreams. A person can have a lot of different dreams. And there's some qualities about dreams that are pretty consistent across the board. I would say this as well. There's you can, because God has made us in his image as dreamers, we can dream even without like hearing from God. And that's actually a good thing. But something that's even more powerful, and what I really want to focus in on in this message series, is the God dreams, the moments where God speaks to us and we start to see something that he sees. We discover something that he's saying and we begin to dream with God. That's what we're going to be focusing on. Okay, so dreams are really about seeing something inside before you see it outside. And they aren't based on what is in the natural realm that we can perceive with our five senses, but on what can be and even what must be. Something that grips us, that won't let go of us. Dreams have, they're alive, they're living, breathing. They have an energy of their own. God dreams have an energy of their own, because when God speaks, his word comes with power. There's no word from God without power. His word accomplishes what he sent it to do. So when it's received by one of his kids, there's a way that there's just, it's empowering and it's grace-filled. It's what happens when you carry the dreams of God. You become an empowered, grace-filled person. Dreams capture your heart and your spirit. They touch a place deep down inside of you. And it sparks imagination. It begins to fill you with hope. Really, an unquenchable hope. More than a wish. More than a passing thought. It gets a hold of you. And Joel Osteen put it this way. Sometimes when the dream is really big and you embrace it, it also feels like the dream is embracing you. Like, you receive it, but it's kind of like it's getting a hold of you and embracing you as well. That's how God dreams really feel. Dreams stir up hope, and we're meant to be filled with hope and to abound in hope and overflow with hope. And sometimes the dreams we have are really practical. They're about experiencing a better life, maybe achieving greater things. And maybe it's about, you know, like, hey, there's a picture where my future is better than my past. The best is yet to come. We see that. Sometimes those dreams are, and that's really important. Those kinds of dreams are incredibly important for family. Maybe it's like, I'm dreaming for my kids not only to succeed, but my kids to come back to the Lord or walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you in your life today. Like, all dreams are such a beautiful thing. But don't just have natural dreams. Have supernatural dreams. Dream for your kids to succeed. Dream for your business to flourish. But also dream for your kids to walk with God as mighty women and men, and dream that your business is going to touch the nations of the world. Have both kinds of dreams. We need to carry those in our hearts. Dreams that God gives. Sorry about my voice. I really don't know what's... I might have been singing too hard up here. These dreams give us insight into his vision of the future. When God gives us a dream, and it, what happens is this. We see how we can partner with heaven to pull his reality into our world. That's what happens with dreams. It's an incredible thing. Dreams are a vehicle that God gives us to ignite our faith, and when that happens, heaven can invade earth. So it's not just like, hey, I really like to like dream and kind of fantasize, and that's all good. I love sci-fi more than probably most of you. Okay, I love that kind of stuff. All of them. I love it all. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, I love all. But we're not talking about something fantastic. We're talking about something supernatural that in God's heart that wants to invade our lives and our generation, his heart. And that brings us to an important point in the front cover. God is the dream giver. God is the dream giver. Like I said, we have the capacity to dream apart from him, but we really want to understand that in terms of these God dreams, God is the dream giver, and he wants to give you a dream, and he wants to take the dreams he already has for you and make you aware of them. He wants to take the dreams that he's given you and you laid aside. He wants to give you the motivation and enthusiasm to pick them back up again, where they've been laid aside. And that's all part of this series. I want to show you something in Ephesians 2. Love this verse. It's like a really, really foundational verse. especially if you look at verse 8 and 9, which we don't have time to do. But after speaking of our salvation not being by works, it says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, we're created for something, and that something is good works. But it says about these good works that God prepared them beforehand. This is where dreaming with God comes in. This is where God giving us dreams comes in. Because before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And before you were formed in your mother's womb, he had plans and purposes for you and for me. And what happens when we begin to get a God dream is the thing that God has had in his heart from eternity past. There comes a moment in the chronology of our lives as we're living and pursuing God that the dream that God has had for us before we were even formed in our mother's womb intersects with our life and invades who we are, and we get gripped with the reality of what God has for our lives. We discover it. And in that moment, it's like something explodes across our spirits and we know why we're here. It doesn't have to be a super complicated dream. Some of the most profound dreams are very simple. And it's also not a fatalistic thing. Like, God has prepared things beforehand, but I want to really highlight, we have to choose to partner with God in living them out. Our free will is very much involved. As we discover, we then choose. I also would like to highlight something about these things God has prepared for us beforehand, foreordained. Like, I just want you to know there's things that are amazing that God has for your life that you don't know about yet and I don't know about yet, but we're going to know about them. And we are called to be prepared to live in that dream. Because it's not just like, hey, there's these things God's prepared beforehand. The next phrase of Ephesians 2:10 is that we should walk in them. Not just know about them. Not just be aware of them. Not just be happy that there's something, some good promises. But that we should walk in them. That's living the dream. That's what this is all about. I want to give you three qualities of dreams that come from God on the inside cover of your notes, just as we are setting this up and introducing the series, getting towards Psalm 126. First of all, point A, moving into the dream will satisfy your heart because you're doing what God formed you to do, what you were created and wired to do. There's nothing more satisfying in your life. There's one thing more satisfying than doing what God's called you to do, and that's being in his presence. It's the most satisfying thing on the earth. But the other thing that is the most satisfying thing in your life is doing what God made you to do. When you're doing that, when you're in that, whether it's the personal dream he's put over your life, or it's the shared dream he has over a house or over his body in this generation. When you're doing that, you'll know it's God because something in your life will come alive. Something in your life will catch fire and you'll know that you're doing what you were born to do. That's how you know it's a God dream. You could be doing another dream and it's like, man, this is awesome. This is really amazing. I love it. But it's different than what I'm talking about right now in terms of that satisfaction deep in your spirit. Point B, walking out the dream will bring incredible blessing into your life. It's going to cause you to prosper. You're going to be benefited and blessed so that you can be a blessing. God has purposed for you to prosper. You're like, that sounds like the prosperity gospel. It is the prosperity gospel. I'm going to let it be balanced a little bit and let you know Jesus said in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But sometimes we get so afraid of the prosperity gospel that we forget the truth that God wants you to prosper. And that's also the promise of the word. He said, I want you to be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. That's a blessing God has over his church. 3 John 2. There's going to be moments, of course, of ups and downs. It's not like when you're the moment you're walking out the dream, you never have a problem again. All you have to do is read Joseph's life to realize that. But what I'm saying is that big picture, when it's all said and done, when you look at the trajectory, you're going to see the blessing of God coming on your life in that area. And C is that others are going to be blessed. You see, dreams from God, when God gives you something and you're carrying that dream, it never just blesses one person. It doesn't stop with you. There's just something about God and His nature and His generosity and who He is that when you're living out that dream, there's going to be an overflow from your life that makes an eternal difference in the lives of others, and it's just going to be this unstoppable force, and something of what you're carrying is going to ignite something in their life that they begin to do what they were born to do. You know, the shared dreams that we carry, as I'm living out what God has called me to do, it has this effect, this powerful ripple effect of activating other people as well. And really, the shared dream of God over our generation is really the convergence of all of us living out the personal thing God's called us to do and living it out in the context of the shared dream of His kingdom in our generation. So it's just all interconnected. But a dream is something God created you to do, yet is also too big for you to accomplish on His own. It's like God is saying, I want you to do this, but you can't do it alone. You need His intervention. If it's a real good one, it's going to require Him to break through for you. And not only is it going to require God's intervention, but it's going to require a dream team in your life. It's going to require people that come around you to stand with you in it. And by the way, sometimes God will invite you to be on somebody else's dream team before you get people on your dream team. You know, before Joseph got a chance to see his dream fulfilled, he had to interpret Pharaoh's dreams and be a blessing to someone else. And there's just a way this works, and we'll get to some of that stuff later. So it's like you need His intervention, but you also can't passively just sit by hoping for something to happen. Dreams require actions, taking a first step. I love, you know, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He's one of my heroes, and even all the way back from fourth and fifth grade, I remember being marked by the things that he said, and just so grateful for his influence in our country. We need more people like him in our country right now, today. The reason he had an influence in this country is because he had more than political rhetoric, more than the power, more than persuasive speech, more than eloquence. He had a dream hot off the presses of heaven, burning in his heart, that he communicated to our nation. And people can claim this or claim that or try to hijack who he was for their agenda. But the fact is, he was a son. He was a preacher. He was a believer. And that was the primary influence in his life. But here's, you remember his great I Have a Dream speech. But you know what? The one that gave that I Have a Dream speech also said this: take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And that's a really good balance. Have the dream. Take the step. Like, but I want to see the entire whole planned all out, point A, B, C, and D, and the subpoints and the bullets and and I want the flow chart and the whole thing. And the Lord tends to reveal things to us piece by piece, asking us to believe and then filling in the gaps along the way and taking it from, you know, something that's fuzzy and maybe standard def into high def and making it clear. So I want to take us to Psalm 126, and as we're talking about living the dream and what that looks like and how we do that, some of those big questions, there's one thing I know for sure, and that's to live a dream, you need to have a dream. To live a dream, you need to have a dream. And if you have a dream that you've let go, you need to pick it back up. So I want to take you to Psalm 126 this morning. Psalm 126. What I'm going to do is read the whole thing, because there is a way that it flows that helps us see the connection with all the parts of it. And then we're going to go back and draw out, you know, four points that really are going to lay the foundation for us in this Living the Dream series. So let's pick up reading Psalm 126, A Song of Ascents. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Everybody say we. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Now, I read that whole thing right now because I've heard messages preached out of the beginning and I've heard messages preached out of the end of that chapter. But a lot of times in our thinking, we don't connect the two. We don't connect the dreaming of verses 1 through 3 with the sowing in tears and reaping in joy of verses 5 and 6. We disconnect them, but they are very, very, very much connected in terms of living out the dreams God has put in our lives. So what's going on in the background here is that God's people have been set free. Their captivity is turned, and it's what the cross has done for us. Jesus has set us free. It's what this Holy Spirit does in our lives. Where His Spirit is, where His presence is, there is freedom. When they returned to Zion, which is the place of His presence, they started to dream again. And you know, some translations and some scholars, they put it this way. They're like, what was going on was so good that it was like they were dreaming. It was too good to be true. That's how they kind of interpret that. And I'm okay with that. But I believe there's another truth here that we can't overlook, and it's this. It's point number one. And you can just, point number one in your notes, the part that says don't let difficulty or fear, just cross that out. That's supposed to be point four. It's just a mistake there. But here's the point. Point number one. Dreaming is the normal activity of those who are connected to God, of those who are in God's presence. It is absolutely normal. When you are in the presence of God, when you are in Zion, when you're pursuing Him, when you're in the house of prayer, the place of worship, when you're in the place of going after Him and abiding, the normal activity of your life is that there are going to be dreams that are popping all around. You're going to be hearing from God. Dreaming is the normal activity of those who are in the presence of God. It's normal for believers to be dreaming. God dreams. The normal activity of those who've been set free. When He brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And I want to draw your attention to a few more words here. First of all, the phrase brought back. It's here and it's again in verse 4. But it's the word that we focused on in the beginning of the year when we were talking about the series RE and this year, 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. And we understood that this word, the same phrase brought back, was the word we were focusing on earlier in the year about return. It's mentioned over 300 times in the scripture. This word is used for return, for restore, for so many different things like that. This entire recovery process that God brings. And when it says they were brought back, when the Lord brought them back, when they returned to restoration, they were like those who dreamed. And there's this returning. And I sense in my heart, I know that this is like a prophetic word, a now word for this season. God is calling people. He's bringing us as individuals back to the things that He promised us, back to the place He's called us to be. He's shifting and recalibrating our lives right now to bring us, to cause us to return. Yes, return to our first love, but also secondarily, return to the dream that He has over our lives. And there's seasons, right? There's seasons where we're in it, and then something else happens, and it might even be a God reason to be taken off to another place. But this is a time of return. And it says this. We were like those who dreamed. I had you repeat it already. I want you to see the plurality of this. I want you to see the community of this, the togetherness of this. We were like them who dreamed. They were experiencing this together. It was an atmosphere. It was an environment that they were in together. It's the environment God wants in your home. It's the environment He wants in our church family. It's the environment He wants us to carry and live in. That we, as a community, are carrying His presence in such a way that we are like those who dream. And that word dream, it can be used of anything, any kind of dream. It could be an ordinary dream or a prophetic God dream. Like I already said, both are so good. But that's the atmosphere that comes in His presence. Joel 2:28 puts it like this. Afterward, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. That's saying in his presence, this prophetic atmosphere of prophecy, dreams, visions, it's all going to come. And sometimes people like to, like, I don't know, use this verse to kind of like define generations. Like if you're old, you dream, and if you're young, you have vision. And they talk about all this kind of stuff. It's not saying that, because you can be old and have a vision. You can be young and have a dream. You can be old and prophesy. This is talking about God pouring out his spirit in such an extensive way, if you really read that passage, that regardless of age, regardless of whether you're a guy or a gal, regardless of your station, so in your socioeconomic status, God is pouring out his spirit in such an incredible way that there is a community of people living in a culture, in an atmosphere of the dreams of heaven in the heart of God. C.S. Lewis said, "You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." Some people think, well, I'm done with dreaming. No, that was a time when I dreamed, and now I don't want to do that anymore. My encouragement to you today, or rebuke even to you today, is knock that off. Knock that off. Stop it. Stop. I'm like, what did God tell you today, church? Stop it. That's what I left church with today. No, seriously. That thing that says it's too late for you and you can't dream anymore, That's like shutting down an entire part of who you are as a person. God made you to dream. Number two, dreams are connected to profound joy. The God of hope fills us with joy and peace and believing. Look at verse 2 and 3. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Ah. Love that. But what I want to show you here is when they began to dream, it changed what came out of their mouths. There was laughter. Their mouth was filled with laughter, their tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things. And then they said, he has done great things. I want you to see here that when we carry a God-given dream, it will change the way we talk. It will change the way we communicate. I remember some time ago, and we have to constantly renew this insight. I don't know. We used to talk about Marin County being like a hard place and a difficult place and whatever, you know. And then you go around the world and you find out a lot of people say that about where they live. And talk about being the least Christian area in the United States. And, oh, it's such hard ground and all the people. And I don't know. We were just caught up in that. We'd heard it, and we started repeating it until the Lord told us, stop it. It's time to begin speaking life over the land. And he took us to Isaiah 62, where he was saying, no longer will you be termed forsaken or desolate, but you will be called a city sought out, the redeemed of the Lord. And we see that God began this process in Isaiah 62 of renaming. And what happens to us when we're carrying a dream is it starts to change the way we speak. And you start to feel, and here's what I realized. I'll come to that in a second. We just have to begin to align our language with what God's saying. And it's like we start talking about possibilities ahead of problems. It's not like we're in denial with the problems, but we really are focused on what's possible. We start talking about what can be instead of what isn't. We start talking about what God is doing instead of what he isn't doing. Our whole way of communicating changes. And I think that we have a really, really high dose right now of people talking about what isn't. And in this last election cycle, and still continuing in the news cycles today, are people pointing fingers at the other side about what they're not doing right, and about what they're lacking, and about how lame they are. And here's the thing.
We can start watching that, and what begins to happen as we're watching that is it can influence us to the point where we start communicating in the same way. But I'll tell you this, I find that when I start communicating in that kind of a way, my faith level begins to drop, and I can't afford that, and neither can you. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do some things without complaining and disputing. Do a few things without, do all things except when somebody really bugs you, your spouse, you're upset at them, or you're frustrated. There's no clause there for any exception. This is the same in Mandarin, in Hindi, in Hebrew, in Greek. It's the same in Arabic. It's the same in every language of the world, Spanish, French, Latin, English. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is saying you shine as lights in the world, but that light gets a little dimmer when you don't do what verse 14 is talking about. When we're carrying dreams, it changes the way we communicate. Number three, hold on to your dreams. Because when the fulfillment comes, it comes quickly. Back of your notes, when fulfillment comes, it comes quickly. I want to talk to you about verse 4 where it says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And I believe this is teaching. I believe it's a sermon. I believe that there's prophetic elements in this for us to receive today. So this, hear what the Spirit would say to your life. Now, the south of Israel is known as the Negev. David would hide there from Saul. David was like an outdoorsman because he was a shepherd, and he could live in the wilderness. He could be on any of the shows on History Channel or on National Geographic Channel and win. Okay, David was like an outdoorsman. And what we know about the Negev is that it was a very desolate place. It was full of caves. It was extremely arid. And you could have months and months and months where it was just bone dry. And David would go and hide out there because no one wanted to be there because they didn't really know how to live there. But when rain comes up in the high country, catch me on this. When the rain comes in the high country, it might not even be raining down in the desert, but through all of the limestone and the waterways and the watershed of the high country of Israel, going down to one of the lowest places on earth near the Dead Sea, all of a sudden, if you're down in the Negev, in the southland, and the rains come in the highland, the creeks will not just begin to trickle, but they will begin a mighty flow, and rivers will begin to have floodwaters coming from dry to floodwaters, even in the matter of just hours. When they're saying, turn our captivity like streams in the south, this is a very specific picture. They're saying, we know that there's times where everything seems dry and desolate and there's just nothing there, but we are going to adopt this as our prayer, as our anthem. By the way, this was a song. We are going to sing this song, and we're going to sing this prayer, and we're going to sing it again and again. We are going to choose to trust you to bring our dreams to fulfillment and bring back your purposes in our lives and bring a harvest into our lives in the same way as it's completely arid and then the floods come. We trust you to do that. Even though our lives are dry and things seem like it's not really happening and it's not going to come, we're going to trust you to bring your purpose, your dream, your promise to fulfillment in our lives. And we're going to trust you to do it quick. A lot of our lives is like we have to be in this place where, yeah, sometimes there's waiting. And by the way, he's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. But keep waiting. Because there are things that are incremental, but there's also things that are like it seems dry and then it's floods. It's just one, then the other. There's incremental things in the kingdom and there's suddenlies in the kingdom. And I believe that in this time of returning to dreams, there's a lot of suddenlies that God wants to start popping all around us. Okay? Now, some of us lay aside our God-given dreams because of painful situations or disappointments or frustrations, and you get knocked around a bit in life, and this is a season of returning and returning to the Lord in that area of your life, to draw near into his presence, to return to your dreams, to let them return to you, to pick them up again. Turn back our captivity. Bring it back.
That's the word return again. Just like the waters flood in and return. Let your provision, your resource, the move of your spirit, your promises, let them flow. Finally, number four, don't let difficulty or fear hold you back from dreaming. Right after all this stuff about the dreams of God and what we've learned so far, that it's normal to dream. It's a normal condition of God's people that, you know, in this place of walking with the Lord, that there's going to be incredible hope and joy, and that in this place, there's a quick return of God's promises. We also have this exhortation about sowing in tears, reaping in joy. And I want to just highlight the word continually and the word doubtless. If you go to the next slide there, everyone say continually. Everyone say doubtless. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Carrying the harvest. Continually. Not once, not twice, not 10 times. No limit. Not saying, God, I will do this for a certain amount of time and then my ultimatum comes. It's not how it works. If we know it's a God dream and we're being faithful to Him and He's bringing a dream team around our lives and we're going for it, yes, we need wisdom, we need our steps to be ordered, but there's a continually that we're called to in this. Come on, church. Come on, help me this morning. There's a continually that we're called to. And that's where living the dream comes in. That's where having a dream moves into living a dream because of the word continually. Because that word continually is connected to the word doubtless. You will come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. I think about the disciples a little bit. And, you know, they were always surprised by things Jesus said. And they thought they had the answers. And sometimes they really did. Like when Peter's like, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Father spoke that to you." But a bunch of other times, Jesus is like, "Let me talk to you guys about that." I remember the time where you read in the scripture, the disciples are probably having a little tiff or something, and they're trying to figure out about forgiveness. Because Jesus is always teaching about forgiveness and forgive your enemies and all this. And so they're like, "Okay, Lord, in one day, how many times do I need to forgive my brother?" And they're like, "He's going to give us something more than one." So they're like, "Hey, Jesus, 7? Maybe it's going to be so high, he'll bring it down. Maybe that's, if we give him a high maximum, he's going to bring it down." So, nah. And Jesus is like, "Hey, guys, 70 times 7. And I don't think Jesus was saying a minimum of 490. He was saying, get rid of your minimums. Get rid of the idea of, I'm going to do this a certain amount of times and then I'm done. You know what? That's something we like to say sometimes when we're frustrated. I'm done. I'm just so done. Stop it. Stop it. Don't say that. Don't say that in that context. Okay? If you're joking, you're saying you're tired, I get it. But when it comes to the dreams of God, and what he's called you to do with your life and serving him and your faithfulness and the things he's spoken into your spirit, I get it. I get being in that place of frustration. But avoid the terminology of "I quit." Avoid that terminology. Rest is different than quitting. Rest. Just rest. Soak in his presence. You realize sometimes you're like, "Oh, I got this place because I wasn't doing that. Whoops." First love, rest. Okay, let's go after it. But don't let the fear of difficulty keep you back from dreaming. Because there's a doubtless here. You know, sometimes we get a dream and there's the emotion that comes with that, the excitement. As the worship team comes, the excitement of that just gets us stirred up. And we go out, we meet an obstacle, and we're like, man, I felt so good. Just got back from the Wonder Conference. Woo! And then Monday came in hot, and my boss was like, then I was like, oh. But I, or from church, from Sunday to Monday, whatever it is, okay? And when we are carrying a dream, here's what happens, and we come back to it in our hearts with the Lord, and the Bible says those who feared the Lord, they spoke often of him. And the Lord wrote a book of remembrance for them. When you choose to stir it up again and talk about what God is saying instead of what you're feeling bummed about, the original emotion and hope of that dream can buoy you up again. And it's an incredible thing. Sometimes you really need it, man. You're like, you're covered in an avalanche up in the high country, and you need to pull the ripcord on that parachute that'll build a snow cave and help. Or one of those big wave surfers that they go down and they've got to pull their oxygen compression and get them popped up to the surface. That's exactly what can happen when you come back to saying, I'm going to return to what God spoke to me. I'm going to talk about it out loud. I'm going to share it with somebody. I'm going to call my dream team. We're going to get this thing going and to come back into his presence. Boom, you pull the ripcord. Bam. You're back up to the surface again. You're like, my heart was overwhelmed, but it's not anymore. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And you can come back to that place again and again. I know that sounded weird. Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about. See, dreamers aren't interested in just maintaining the status quo. You know, whether you're a pioneer or a settler, neither one of those are about the status quo. We're still building, still growing. God's kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom, not a maintain where you are kingdom. Okay, so today, I just feel deeply like God, he wants to, as we're starting this off, he's the dream giver, and he wants to make us like those who dream. It's the normal activity, and I want to say, if you've put any restraints on God, like, I don't want to go there, Lord, I don't want to think about that, I don't want to dream about that, my exhortation to you, my honest, sincere encouragement is to all of us, is take those restraints off of the Lord today. And open your heart to him in those areas. He wants to give you dreams and encourage you in your personal dreams. He wants us to share dreams, to dream together. He wants to create a dreaming environment in our lives. You know, some of the best dreams are seeing your child walk in right relationship with God, or experiencing a restored marriage, or having a job that actually pays you to do what you love. Those are good dreams. Those are personal, good, wonderful dreams. Or maybe it's like, you know what, I want to start a ministry or a nonprofit. I want to reach refugees. I want to deal with trafficking. My sister is such a sweetie. You know, she's given her life to help empower women in Central and South America with micro businesses and things like that. It's awesome. It's her dream. And God's all around it. Think about Roger and Gabrielle sitting right here. God gave you guys a dream for San Francisco. You had your time, you had your Selah, you had Selah, your daughter, and you had your respite, you had your season. Now God's put you guys back in the city. There's a return, man. This whole word is just, I just feel like God's all over it for you guys. That I'm glad you're so happy. I'm always just so happy to see you guys in church or anywhere. But God's just, wow. This returning, man, it's like the streams of the south. It's like the streams of the south, the high country water, God bringing it in. The streams of the south coming in to this season. So excited for you guys. I think about our students going back to school at San Marin and Novato High and other campuses, and how they have a dream. These students have a dream to see some revival, see many, many of their friends. Think about Pastor Dustin and our young adult buddy and our young adults and movement youth. They have a dream to see revival sweep into our region, to see a whole, that's our dream as a church. We want to see thousands of people in the North Bay. We're not here to play church. We're not here to just, I don't know. We're not here for any of that. We are here to see
Jesus lifted high. We are here to give him our all. And our heart beats to see our community come into a radical encounter with the presence of God. Our heart beats to see leaders raised up and released in our community, to see churches planted in other places, to be a missions base to touch the world. Our heart beats for these things. Our heart beats to be a house that is vibrant and filled with prayer and worship, that we're a prayer and worship filled church. I mean, these are things that we dream, and that God's calling us to live in that dream. And whether it's a shared dream like that or a personal dream we're carrying, it's time to pick up those dreams as a people. Let's stand up on our feet today.